Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. Hey everyone, welcome to November. What a crazy time it has been since March, but I've sure enjoyed being with you. But it's finally fall. And you know what I love the most about this season? Now, the North Georgia mountains are just turning. They're beautiful. But it means that November is National Adoption Awareness Month. And you know what? It's time to really focus on that again. For the church to be the light and make an eternal difference in the light of a child. Now, you may be thinking, which I hear a lot, oh, Lynette, that's just a big ask. You know, this sounds too big to step into these numbers, to think about all these children that need homes. But if you're not called to do that, you can help. There are countless numbers of church planting families, young pastors and missionaries that are right now preparing paperwork to adopt domestically, step into foster care, or to begin international adoption. But many times, and I hear their stories, that they have to put those dreams on hold because they're still trying to raise the money needed to take that next step. So let me tell you a way you can help. We have something here at the North American Mission Board called the Ministry Adoption Grant Fund, and I'm just so honored to be a part of it. Since 2017, the Lord has allowed us to share over $300,000 with pastors, missionaries, church leaders who have opened their lives to a child in need of a family. We hear so many inspiring stories from our families who have received these grants from the Minister's Adoption Fund, and it's just so much fun for us to see their pictures and hear how God is using them in order to ignite a culture of adoption in their own communities and churches. Now, one such family I want you to meet is Montana and Amanda Jones. So welcome, friends.
Hey, Lynette.
Hey, thanks.
So glad to be here.
Yeah, we're so glad that you're here. So tell us about your family, and then we'll jump into how the Lord has been using you in foster care and adoption.
Okay, yeah. So we've been married for 8 years this year, and so we were high school sweethearts. We started dating in the ninth grade.
And, oh wow!
And we got married in college, and then now we have one biological daughter who's 6 years old in first grade, and just having a fun time growing and really excited because she's having a blast being a big sister now.
Oh,
because
I love it.
This year we got to adopt our son, and so he was born in April, and so we were April 21st, so we were able to adopt him this year and finalize. And so it's been as crazy as 2020 has been for a year. It's been a really really awesome and a fun year for us, mm-hmm. as God's just been able to grow our family through adoption this year. And so I'm an associate pastor of a church plant that's about 3 years old in just south of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh yeah.
And so the Summit Church here in Arkansas, and so that's a lot of fun. We're getting a lot of opportunities to share the gospel, all those kinds of things, and then even now getting to step into kind of when it comes to adoption, being able just to kind of be able to preach that and to encourage other families and those kinds of things is obviously the Lord's grown our passion in that. So we're excited to talk about that for sure.
Yeah. So tell me this, either one of you just jump in. So you had Brooklyn and you were married 2 years, had Brooklyn.
Surprised with her big time.
Yeah. Yeah. The Lord does that a lot. I'm telling you. I have several at my house now and it's wonderful. I have a lot of grandkids that way too. But what led you to pursue adoption? Because you had Brooklyn and just, you know, your little family going. Why do this?
Yeah, I think because we talk about it even before, we were engaged or married, we had talked about adoption beforehand. It had always kind of been on our hearts, and we just always had this feeling that, the Lord was going to use this to be a part of our story.
Yeah.
And we had no idea how or why or when or all those kinds of things, but it was something we were always open to, saying, hey, God, if this is something you want for us, we're in. And I think we kind of had that feeling individually mm-hmm. before we were married. And then obviously was a feeling we got when we were married, and we kind of, that was probably as far as it went kind of as we've been for a long time was, hey Lord, we're open, we're willing. And then we had Brooklyn, which was, she was such a great surprise. And then after Amanda had hers, that she started having some health complications where the doctors were kind of like, it's probably wise for you to hold off having any more kids till we get all of those things figured out. And so we kind of lived in that for a few years of just, all right, let's get these things figured out. And so then as we kind of got those things figured out, kind of at that point, it was about 3 years ago, I guess.
Yeah, it was 3 years ago. So I just very distinctly remember praying, literally, it was probably almost to the day 3 years ago, praying and asking the Lord, like, as I had learned more about adoption, just, hey, is this what you want us to do next? And I remember very distinctly telling him, I know this isn't always how you work, but I need you to write it in the sky. And within a week, I went to my annual exam at my OBGYN, where I got some news that basically ended in, we are not able to have any more biological children. And it was crazy because the nurse practitioner who came in was very sensitive and said, gave me the information, said, hey, what have you guys thought about kids? And I couldn't get the words out of my mouth fast enough. Oh, wow. She was a believer. And I was like, oh my gosh, we've been looking into adoption. Like, we're okay with this. Like, it's totally okay. And she looked up at me and smiled so big. And I will never forget. She said, I adopted both of my kids.
Yeah.
And so I totally get it. And it just was, it was a really sweet confirmation for us.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And the Lord was already working in your hearts in high school, it sounds like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was even during that, that was when the doctor, I mean, he told us, he was like, it was a miracle that you ever got, you conceived in the first place, you know? And so for years we had, what was a surprise and all that kind of stuff, we didn't realize we had been walking in God's blessings in a way that we hadn't. And so I think through all of that, we've kind of came to the point of like, hey, this is what the Lord, you know, the Lord planted this in our hearts for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now we're saying, oh, hey, here's the fruition of this. Here's the timing of this. And I think that's when, so it was about 3 years ago is when we really started taking intentional steps to kind of educate ourselves, understand, and then culminating to where, you know, the start of our kind of journey, this beginning of this, or April this year, when we adopted our son.
Oh, that's amazing. And it is so sweet of the Lord to give us those confirmations along the way, because, you know, it's a big step, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If we, those were moments that, you know, we hung on to.
Yeah.
We went through a disrupted match. We went through, you know, a huge financial loss from that, you know, things in our story that, those were moments we had to go back to and say, okay, Lord, we know that you wouldn't have made a way, you know, if this wasn't the route that you wanted us to go.
So you did face some obstacles in this process.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. There's definitely some ups and ups and downs. And I think that's what, I mean, I think any, you know, I think one of the things that would keep anybody from the fostering or adopting world is it's not the easiest or always the most comfortable process. You're having to, there's these waiting periods that you're going to have to kind of walk through. And some of them might be hard waiting periods, or some of them might just be kind of neutral waiting periods. But I think that was, we learned so much through that about just God's goodness and all those kinds of things. And then how ultimately, you know, even in those hard moments, he had already just given so many blessings beforehand, or so many confirmations beforehand, where it was like, God, I don't know what you're doing in this moment. When we experienced a failed a match, we had a disruption, and
that's really hard.
It was hard. But even in the middle of that, God was like, hey, this is my story. I'm working out in your lives. I'm working out in the lives of a birth family you don't even know right now. Mm-hmm. I'm working in the lives of a child that's not even born yet. And just seeing all that, that I think in those that waiting period, that's what I know for me, and Amanda can probably speak to that as well, I had to keep coming back to that, because there was even moments where I was probably like, I'm thinking like, do we even do this anymore? Right. Like, this is, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was, and the Lord just had to keep coming back and saying, hey, this is the story that I'm working and I'm telling, you know, just trust me in that moment. And so, you know, I think everybody's going to experience that along this journey.
Right.
And that's what I try to encourage people that I talk to, that that can be a moment that will crush you, or it can be a moment that can refine you, if we're willing to say, hey, God, I'm not in control. It's okay. Which is really hard. But and Amanda can probably speak into that waiting period, because I think everybody experiences it a little bit differently. But
They call it leaving your comfort zone for a reason. And for some reason in the church, we think, oh, we're leaving our comfort zone, so this new place I go into, this new season, it's going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's not. But it's called, you know, it's called stepping out of the comfort zone, because it's, you know, it's just every day a step of faith financially. Bringing all the paperwork together, the Lord merging the right child with your family, preparing Brooklyn's little heart. I mean, there's so many things going on.
It was so, just, this is an encouragement. I remember after our disruption, we were struggling, obviously, personally, but we're both really worried about Brooklyn. And, you know, she's young, and how is her heart going to handle this? But it was so good seeing her I mean, I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was just very much like, God's got a different plan. Like,
she said. She told me, I very distinctly remember driving in the car, and she said, you know, I miss the first mom that we were matched with and her girls, because we'd had a relationship with them. And it had just, you know, all of a sudden just totally been ghosted, and it was very, you know, out of the norm. And I don't say that to condemn that mom. She was struggling with a lot.
But Amanda, this is very common. And I appreciate your transparency.
It is so normal. Yeah. Yes. And so I, you know, she said, I really miss them.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I do too. And, you know, I get a little sad sometimes that they're not in our lives anymore. And she said, well, mom, it's really hard to give someone else your baby. And I said, yes, it is. Oh my goodness. And it was just like, she was preaching to me too. Like, hey, this is a hard thing. And it was just her giving grace to that mom in that moment too, of like, hey, we get that this was this was hard, and that may be the most that she could give in that moment. And so loving her through that, I think honestly prepared all of us to, you know, love and appreciate the extended family that we have now through Luca's birth family too.
I agree. I think so many times the Lord reminds us of truths through our children. I know it happened in our home. One night we were praying together with one of our daughters, and you know, it was just a turning point for me, as far as my lens of adoption, you know, me being able to just go, okay, we can take the next step. That was painful. We had served as a middle family for a child, and that was super painful. But and you all had, you know, things fall through, and it's very, very common, and it's something we don't talk about a lot. But there a lot of time are painful moments before that joy, before that, you know, that ending joy really comes.
Right. And I think, you know, it was really a moment for us to walk in our integrity and say, okay, Lord, we really felt called to seek an open adoption for a lot of reasons. And we can talk about that in a minute or two, but like it was a moment for us to say, okay, we committed to love no matter what the result was and no matter what the benefit or lack thereof to our family was. And so it was a really, it impacted us in a huge way.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that. Amanda, you just really felt called to an open adoption.
Yes, we did. So we, it's funny because I know you and I talked a little bit about when I listened to your episode with Bethany Hall, I was like, oh my gosh, there are so many parallels in our story.
She's a great gal. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And one was that, you know, 16 and pregnant series on TV forever ago. And, you know, I don't know if they still do that, but there was a couple that placed their child in an open adoption, and it really, seeing that and then growing up, we were around people who were in open adoptions, either as an adoptive parent or birth parent or adoptee, which was very rare, honestly, when we were younger. And so it was just something that the Lord laid on our hearts that, hey, these birth parents get sidelined a lot or forgotten by society or judged. You know, they would be judged if they aborted their child. They would be judged if they kept their child in less than ideal circumstances. They would be judged. They are judged for placing their child. And so, you know, just being able to love them with humility and the love of Christ was something that we really, really wanted to seek out. And it's been a huge blessing to us that we didn't even imagine, you know, just being able to love on Luca's birth family before he was placed with us and then after as well. So,
wow. So what does that look like now that Luca's in the home?
So we had, maybe 5 months or so to get to know his birth mom when she was pregnant. And so we've just kind of extended that relationship now where, you know, I talk with her and message her and stuff several times a week. We're grateful that, I mean, she and I, it doesn't always work out easily. I will say that. We are incredibly blessed that she pours back into us too. And so we exchange pictures and messages, and like sometimes it's about him and sometimes it's just us. I mean, we genuinely have become friends. And so it's been really, really good. But something that we really didn't anticipate is we get to be involved with their extended family as well. And they've just welcomed us in a huge way. Like it is, I can't describe the blessing of being able to see my son with biological grandparents and, you know, an extended family that love him so much and are so proud of him. And that's something that for a long time, you know, adoptees, that's a rare blessing to have. And so they've accepted us as much as we've tried to accept them and love them. And it's so funny because now I say, like, my kids are just going to be quadruple grandparent spoiled.
All that deprogramming you'll have to do.
Even Brooklyn, like, you know, we went up and we visit them sometimes. So his birth family, his birth dad is involved as well. And so that's a huge blessing on top of everything too. Again, that's not always common. And so we go visit them every now and then. They live about 3 hours from us. And so I remember one of the first times we went back up there, it was around Mother's Day, and we went to celebrate that with them and just to love on his birth mom, because it was, I guess, 2 weeks post-placement. Mm-hmm. And his biological grandmother walked in the door to come see us, which we'd met her already. And she had a birthday present for Brooklyn Mother's Day gift for me. And I was just like astounded because she doesn't owe us that, you know? And so it was just a really sweet blessing from the Lord. And this is the thing, our previous match taught us that, you know what, we need to love, even if that's not the response.
Yeah.
And so I think it just sits that much sweeter in our hearts that, mm-hmm. you know, they don't owe that to us at all. And yet they've welcomed us in as family.
Man, only the Lord can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in this process of your church plant, it's fairly young, watching mm-hmm. you walk through this, how have they supported you or encouraged you, or have mm-hmm. maybe there's been some difficulty there, but maybe some things they've done that might be encouraging to other churches to kind of step in and do?
I think I think the most encouraging things we've had has come from, well, you know, I think about our small group that we're in. You probably know us more intimately than most people do. You know, we're so involved in praying for us and just any ways that they can help. But I think about other times Amanda helps with a lot with kind of promoting and working with some of the organizations that help with fostering and those kinds of things in our community. And so there's times that she gets to speak on that. And I mean, I remember one time that, you know, the church just came and prayed over us because we were in the middle of that kind of journey. And that was super encouraging. When I think some of the things, one is just when you have that community, the church community comes around you. And even if there's not necessarily always, I think a lot of times people are looking for what is this very tangible, like material, kind of materialistic thing we can do to help, which is obviously those are good things. But even to have a community, the church body coming around and saying, hey, we're just with you. Like we're for you,
yeah,
praying over you, you know, and people, you know, and so then you'd have people asking, hey, how are things going? You know, how can I be praying for you for this? And then of course, even after that, you know, when we were matched or even post-placement, you know, people sending things and, you know, being just genuinely being excited for us. It's kind of, if you think about it, if the body of Christ is working as it is, then even with adoption or anything that's going on, this is a process the church is being a part of as well.
Yes.
You know, this is the and so I think our church family, obviously being a church plant, was a little bit smaller, so it was you had more people knew kind of your story and those kinds of things as well, that they could really just encourage us, pray for us, you know. And we had those people that during those hard moments, I remember the morning of our the disruption happened, I was working in Starbucks and a church member just happened to come in, and he just sat down and we were talking, and he just kind of was like, hey, can I pray for you? You know, and he had no idea, but he had been involved enough in my life to kind of step in, and he had no idea what had just happened, but he prayed for the kind of the exact thing that I was going through that moment. Mm-hmm. But it was just the body of Christ, the Lord working through his body. And so, I think any way that a church family can support their families that are fostering or adopting through that it's not going to happen by accident. It's going to require some intentionality to think through how can we help this family.
Right.
And so any way they can step into that, I think is going to be not just beneficial, obviously, for the adoptive family, but it's going to be beneficial for the health of the community and the church in as a whole.
Yeah. And I think two things that I think of specifically are, we have a really good friend who wanted to help make one of Luca's birth mom's goals happen that she had for post-placement, which was learning to sew. And she wanted to learn to make clothes and things. And my friend was like, hey, I would really love to help you make that happen for her. And so they came alongside us and were like, hey, let's get her ways to get fabric, and let's get her a sewing machine, and let's get, you know, just, they didn't just love us, they've loved everybody involved, and that has meant a lot to us. And then the second thing is, we had friends who, they knew we had a crib that we'd just set up and a nursery that we'd gotten ready. Oh gosh, it was like probably 2 years ago. That feels so long ago. Thank God that he did not tell me, hey, you're going to have to wait 2 more years. Like. But they came to us, their foster parents, and they had considered taking a placement, but they both work and he could not go to daycare immediately. And so we were in this waiting period, and they knew that I'm a homeschooling mom. I stay at home, and they knew that we had, you know, a bunch of baby stuff here, and said, hey, can you basically keep him every day until we figure out how long he's staying, you know, what the plan is, and until he can go to daycare. And of course I said yes. And so we became their foster family support system. And that was the greatest blessing that came from that waiting period. It really was. Because I know I've mentioned this to you previously, but our nursery was not empty for 2 years. It was, you know, it held this little boy who we came to love, and we're basically fun aunt and uncle for him. And we got to love on his foster family. And, you know, I got to take him to bio parent visits and love on his family in an extended way, in that way. And so it was as much a blessing to us as it was to them. And it opened our hearts to foster care. Not that we didn't care before, but we didn't have you know, a face or a name
right.
to put with foster care. It was this like, oh, that's, you know, a great ministry. That's something people should be involved in. And then when we got up close and loved up close, it came to mean something different. And so, yeah, that was a huge blessing. And I'm grateful that they thought to ask us, you know, during that time, because it kept us from this like, okay, when's our right. waiting period going to end kind of mentality. Because we got to serve their family and we got to love on this little boy, and it opened our hearts to new things, to, you know, potential new medical things that seemed really scary. Like we talked about, that fear holds people back. And especially in international adoption, sometimes in domestic adoptions, we say, oh, I don't know if I could be a mom, you know, who deals with special needs, you know, chooses to or whatever. And that time really opened our hearts to make mm-hmm. those things less intimidating and less scary. And while they weren't a part of Luca's story, ultimately, the Lord may use those later. And it helps me trust the Lord more and say, you know what? I didn't ask any questions about this child before I said yes to loving him and helping him and being a safe place for him. And so maybe I need to extend that to every part of my life and not just with him.
Oh, yeah. And I love the way you and I talked about, you know, waiting well. And you've just been such a picture of that, Amanda, of saying, Lord, here's what you've put in my hand. Here are the tools I have. I'm a homeschool mom. You know, my husband's working outside the home. And how can I, Lord, serve well in that? And, you know, I've yeah. always said when you desire to open your home to children, the Lord mm-hmm. will fill your home. Now, you may not yes. adopt. You may not uh-huh. keep a yep. foster child forever.
Exactly.
But I've seen it over and over. And foster yes. care takes on a whole new meaning when you oh, yes. hold it and look in its eyes.
Yes, 100%. Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, how do you see the church in this role, with this being National Adoption Awareness Month, and we're talking about foster care, and that'll become big again, you know, the topic in the spring. But how do you see the church's role in this?
Well, I think, I mean, I think obviously we have, we have a mandate in Scripture when it comes to how do we love and care for the oppressed, the poor, the widows, the orphans. So there's, I think there's somewhat of that kind of thing that we have to, we have the role to do. Not everybody's going to become foster parents. Not everybody's going to become adopted parents. All these different kinds of things, but everybody can do something. Mm-hmm. And I would go as far, everybody is called to do something. Mm-hmm. And so I think the church's role in this is, one, I would say, figuring out what is the practical way we as a church are going to meet these needs in our community mm-hmm. and amongst our body, you know, those kinds of things. So, like I said earlier, it won't happen by accident. You know, mm-hmm. it's one of those things, like we never accidentally fulfill what God's calling us to fulfill. Like it takes, yeah. you know, we don't trip into it. It'll require us to think through, hey, how can we help, you know, how are we supporting, foster families in our church? And that's one of the things that we, you know, and Amanda does, and we do here is how do we support that? But I think with the adoptive side of it is, well, how are we helping our adoptive families that are in the middle of, you know, in the middle of their waiting period?
Yeah, that's hard.
Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of things, yeah. you know, we think about meal trains and all those kinds of things when somebody goes through some kind of loss or those kinds of things. Well, what is if you have a family, you know, what are some things you can do during that waiting period that, you know, they're going to be encouraged, you know, that would be encouragement to them, you know, mm-hmm. is there, you know, notes you can write to an adoptive family yeah. in your church just to say, hey, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things. Yeah. Obviously, you know, adoption has a financial burden. And so I would definitely encourage being on the other side of it. I would encourage you that, and for us, there was people that were able to be involved in an adoptive process and supporting birth families, supporting adoptive families, supporting adoptees financially, and they may not be involved any other way, mm-hmm. and that's okay. But I would encourage members to think about those families that are in your congregation think about, man, is maybe the Lord's calling me to financially partner with them in ways to help them. Just intentionally answer the question as a church, this is how we are helping our adoptive families.
Yeah.
How we're encouraging, supporting, all those different kinds of things. This is how we're a part of the mandate that God has given us, you know, and those kinds of things.
And I think too, like just thinking through as well, like how churches can support, you know, the process holistically. You can host a post-placement, mm-hmm. you know, support group, yeah. or and provide childcare for these moms that, you know, this is not leaving anybody behind in this process as well. And just that can be through DHS, that can be people who voluntarily place through an agency or something, like, and flipping the script on, you know, what we've long sort of been talking about with unexpected pregnancies or single moms, like supporting the single moms in your congregations and things like that, or birth families if you have them. And yeah, it's, I think just having the conversations and bringing it up, because if you have an adoption ministry and yet, you know, you don't ever talk about caring for the people involved in adoption, or talk about, hey, like, let the Lord take care of all of your fears and do what he's calling you to do. If you don't talk about those things, people are never going to actually take that leap and get involved. And so I think just treating the whole of the church in a way that supports adoption and that supports fostering and makes it less scary and just normalizes it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said, Montana, like this isn't going to happen by accident. You don't just fall into, we all of a sudden have an adoption or foster ministry.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
It takes planning and it takes resources. And I've, you know, one of the funnest times for me in ministry is when I've been able in a couple of churches to be a part of that, wherever the Lord's placed us and we've moved. Okay, so you've got a family that's listening into your story and they're really considering stepping into adoption or foster care. So this mm-hmm. is still fresh in your life. You know, you're not like me. It was 18 years ago. Can you share just a few tips that kind of help a family or a single, you know, whoever the Lord's calling to kind of overcome this fear and some of the apprehensions of adoption? Just some quick tips for them.
Yeah,
I think I'm trying to think. I mean, I know for us, there was obviously there's the first is like the financial side of it, I think, is what scared us the most. It's what we get asked about more than anything.
Oh, absolutely.
I think this, the statistics say like 38% of Christians seriously consider adoption, but only 5% actually end up adopting. And the main reason a lot of times is financial, you know, the financial burden. So I think, mm-hmm. I think there's that side of it. And I always try to encourage people, you know, one, obviously if this is what the Lord is working in and doing, he is a great provider. He can, you know, that financial burden is not a burden to the Lord. And so trusting him in that, but there is also that, you know, I remember feeling this very, weird kind of overwhelming feeling of how in the world can we do this?
Yeah.
But then also this awkward feeling of like, man, we can't do this alone. Like, how do we get help and all those kinds of things? And so I think that's where it's like, man, there's so many, family and friends want, there's a lot of family and friends that you would be surprised want to help you, mm-hmm. want to be a part of this process with you. And you get to invite them into that. And you get to invite them into an opportunity in supporting birth moms and adoptees and you and all those different kinds of things, you know. And so why wouldn't we want to invite people into a very practical, tangible way they can be a part of supporting the oppressed, the fatherless, you know, the orphans, those kinds of things. So I would say obviously the financial side is a burden, but I think for us, we just kind of had to sit down on that side of it and practically say, all right, where are we at? What can we do? We had to set some priorities on the front end of just saying life probably, if this is what we need to do, life can't continue to go on as normal. We're going to have to be intentional budgeting and figuring out all those different kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But then finding there's so many organizations that want to be a part of your story. That want to help you and those kinds of things. NAM, I mean, is obviously a huge part of our story and helping us, but there's so many organizations out there that that want to be a part. So I would say on from the financial side, that's probably going to be the biggest obstacle or the biggest fear for a lot of people's hearts. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely say, hey, step into that. Don't let that stop there.
Yeah.
Because once you get to the other side of seeing a pathway and those kinds of things, and then the Lord just starts bringing people into your life and partnering with organizations, like if the Lord is for bringing about this in people's stories and those kinds of things. If you can hear Lucas, but I think there's that. And I would also, and Amanda probably speak to this better than I can, but I think start just educating yourself.
Yes.
I think that's, it's okay. Just adoption is scary because it's probably something you don't know a lot about. You haven't necessarily experienced. That was the case for us. But the more you know, the less scary it becomes.
Yeah.
And the more stories you hear from normal people where you're like, wait, they did, like, I can do that. Like, if they did that, I can, like, and you begin realizing it's not any superheroes who are doing this. It's just normal people who are taking the next step that God's calling them to take. And so I may probably speak more on that, but I think that was probably a huge thing for us was the education side of it, of finding ways to educate ourselves on what adoption is, way, you know, processes, how, you know, how this can play out.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing for me was I owe everything to the women who sat down with me and I could ask anything. And they were okay with it, you know, and they taught me, you know, not just like the details, I guess, but how to do it with my motivations in check and my heart in check and keeping what we knew the Lord had led us to in the forefront, rather than making, you know, just walking in humility through this. And so, I talked to adoptive moms and I talked to, a precious, precious lady in my life who has mentored me for a long time, who is a birth mom who placed 30 years ago. And I talked to, gosh, I think probably almost every adult adoptee we know, in our lives. And I talked to the nurse that I know who works down the street at the infectious disease place when we would present to situations with, you know, various medical needs and stuff like that, or, you know, call the pediatrician, hey, can you tell me about this? And like, just things that it would be easy for us to just say, no, we don't know enough about that. And so, that looks scary. Let's say no. And so not necessarily that the Lord's going to make that part of your story, but like all of these different things, I think about international adoption and how it's changed for good, really. And how it's more focused on children who do have special needs, and just having to look into things like that in the process. It's, I think it's easy for us to just say, oh, that's scary, I don't know about that. But find someone that you know who has walked down that road, and it makes it way less intimidating and more realistic. And, you know, there needs to be responsibility taken into account of what you and your family can and can't handle and things like that. But I think we close our hearts off to a lot, even to expectant families. You know, we see it a lot. And I think that was probably beyond the financial aspect. That was everybody's concern for us. Like, they were way more worried for us than we were.
Yeah.
Of an open adoption.
Yeah.
They're like, well, what if? What about this? What if this? And you know what? We would have dealt with that if we had, you know, walked through a situation that was more difficult. We would be loving that birth family in a different way. But this is the situation we're in. And, you know, it was just really, really interesting because you get all kinds of opinions. And so I think it's good to just talk to people who are walking through it and have already walked through it.
Yeah.
And who you know personally, it makes it real.
Yeah, I always say the Lord called, I just think the Lord calls a lot of people in church leadership to do it. And it really helps some of that fear to crumble. And when you're approachable, like I know you guys are, I always said the Lord called Kevin and I to do it because if people looked at us and thought, oh, if these elves can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I always felt like that. Yeah. But guys, you're so kind to share your story today and just all the details. And I know a lot of people are going to start trying to follow you and follow your story and learn from you. And there's so many seasons ahead with Luca and Brooklyn. And I know the Lord's going to give you grace and use you in their lives to just really further his kingdom. I love hearing little Luca today. So
yeah.
I appreciate
him. He's got some stuff to say.
Well, listen, if you're listening today, would you just join me, Montana, and Amanda this fall and just help us raise awareness for the fatherless, for young souls who are waiting for a loving family to welcome them home. The Lord sees them. He knows where they are, and he is working in hearts right now to bring them home. So wear that T-shirt. Spread the word about adoption. Go to your local church or, like I'm doing now, in your neighborhood, host a service project. But share the numbers, like Montana said earlier, the pictures, and put legs on your faith. And you may just be the one, like Montana and Amanda, like Kevin and I, the Lord is calling to adopt or foster or to help equip those who are. So thanks, guys, for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.